Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with one of Max's top 10 finalists from the January Challenge. We've got Matt Wells. Matt, how are you doing today, bud?
Yeah, good, thanks, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning, mate. You just found out just a few days ago that not only did you make the top 50, but you took out one of our spots in the top 10, one of the final Max's top 10 finalists. How has the past couple of days been like for you?
Good. It was quite a surprise, actually, that I made it. So I know some good changes that people had in the top 10. So, yeah, it was definitely a surprise. But, yeah, been stoked.
Mate, don't act so humbled. Surprise. Come on. You've had an amazing result. You've had an amazing transformation, yeah. And you should be so proud of the effort that you've put in, hey?
Thanks, mate.
Look, Matt, I know a little bit about you having read your podcast, your profile, but there might be some people who are listening to this who might not know who you are. So would you like to give us a little bit of an introduction about yourself? Maybe tell us where you're from, what you do for work, and who is Matt?
Yep. So I'm from Adelaide. Boilermaker by trade for about 15 years, but I've been off the tools for a few years, working shipbuilding in manufacturing engineering. Got two young boys, beautiful wife. Most of my time spent with kids and work and stuff, as everyone does. But yeah, that's pretty much me.
So tell me a little bit more about your work. Is it quite a like physical role you're doing right now, or are you more maybe admin-based? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, it used to be physical when I was on the tools, but I've progressed off the tools, and now it's office-based, which it's been a few years now, but I'm still struggling with. So I used to actually stop even counting steps because 25,000, 30,000 was normal in a day. Now, by the end of the day, I'll look and I've done maybe 5,000. So it's definitely still adapting to that different role, but yeah.
I'm sure we'll chat about that in a little moment. And just one more time, when did you transition from that really physical role into that maybe more admin role? Was it really recent?
No, it was about just over two years ago.
Okay. Yeah. Now I want to speak a little bit about why you chose to join us in the January challenge. Now it's my understanding that it was the second challenge that you attempted with us, this January challenge this year. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And when did you do it previously?
Yeah, I did the January last year. Mm-hmm. Finished it by the end of it. The transformation was amazing, incredible. Really stoked, probably the best I've ever looked. Did it with my wife. We were both really happy. Bet got top 10 then. I got top 50. And then after that, I just let myself go again. I think the celebration went for a bit too long. So, yeah, I decided to do it again this time and get back into it and hopefully keep it this time. So,
yep. Now, your partner, Beck Wells, I've done a podcast with her in the past. So if you're interested, go check out that podcast, give that a listen. And she did this challenge with you this time, correct?
Yes. Yep. She got top 50 this time.
So the position's reversed. The last time you got top 50 and the top 10 and then, okay. Yeah. Well, now it's fair, right? So both of you have made the top 50 and the top 10. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll make a competition out of who can get number one first, maybe.
I love it. Okay. So talking about this January challenge, it sounds like, the celebration from 2021 lasted a little bit too long. Maybe some old habits crept in, maybe work got in the way, life got in the way, those types of things. And then come January, you decided to give it another go this year.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, was there any like big drive that led you to sign up to January? For example, did you catch a glimpse of yourself in the mirror and go, ooh, better kind of get back onto it? Or maybe was it a New Year's resolution? Like what kind of made you sign up?
Well, I've still got the images from the last January that I did and how lean I looked and how healthy I looked. And then this time I'm had the love handles coming back and two-story house out of breath going up the stairs. I'm going, oh, this can't be good. Yeah. I knew that the 12 weeks, it's amazing what you can actually achieve in that 12 weeks. So just put my mind to it and do it again.
Yeah. Look, Matt, from here, I want to talk a little bit about some challenges that you might've faced. And the first thing I want to kind of touch on is this idea of you doing the challenge with Beck. And was it you guys doing the challenge really together, or was it both of you doing the challenge but you're quite independent? For example, were you trying to train together? Were you doing meal prep together, or was it quite different in your household?
So meal prep was the same, which made things a lot easier. So we're not trying to do, if Beck wasn't doing the challenge and she's eating pizza and cake and I'm trying to eat healthy stuff would be very difficult. But because we were both doing it, getting the kids involved, it made it a lot easier. And then with training, we try to train together when we can. When the creche is open at the gym, we'll walk down there with the kids. So normally we get one or two a week together, but otherwise I go before work in the morning by myself. So,
yep.
But yes, definitely trying to train weights together. She likes to do a bit of cardio-based stuff as well, which I'm not too much into. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to get her into weights as well. Yep. So,
yep. And can I ask, how old are your children now?
8 and 5.
8 and 5. Okay.
Yes.
So yep. they're old enough to answer back to you and
old enough to have chaos and disorder in the house.
Yeah. So what was it like then, touching on your life with family life and the kids, you know, when you and Beck were trying to go and train maybe independently, did you have to like really organize each other and tag team to look after the kids and go to the gym and that type of thing?
Yes. So we actually done it this morning. So I get up pretty early, so I think I got up about 5:30, mm-hmm. went to the gym, and then by the time I come back, she's giving the kids breakfast, and then we tag team. She goes, and then I look after the kids while she's at the gym.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of that when the creche isn't open. We just try and juggle the kids, keep them busy around what we can do.
Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah. Like, when we talk about kids, you know, it's one of these really exciting things that we introduce into our lives, but then also a really big, commitment that we have to do, and especially if yes. we want to... A common story I hear in the podcast and within the challenge is this story of, once we have kids, we put them first as we do as humans, and then we kind of put ourselves second or third or further down the list. And that's when, you know, maybe those bad habits creep in. We're just exhausted at the end of the day. We don't want to go and exercise. We don't really want to be eating a certain way. We just want to have easier foods and such. But then when we want to make these changes, our kids are still there and they need to understand that, you know, we're doing this for ourselves to improve our lives, you know, not just us personally, but also the whole family's life. And it does take quite a lot of conversation between you and your partner to make it work. Because if one of you, like you said, if Beck was sitting on the couch eating pizza and going, Matt, what the hell, man? Like, you're going to go and train again? Like, what's the point? You do need that, strong bond between you. So I guess my question is, you know, between you and Beck, have you guys always been interested in, you know, training or exercise? Is it more of a recent thing that you've become and valued that yourself? What was that like?
We've been training for a while now. We're lucky to have a gym about 100 meters down the road. Mm-hmm. So it's very easily to That's get there. No convenient. Excuses. Yeah. Go past it all the time. It's more the diet side of it where we go a bit off the track. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've both been training myself maybe about 5 years, I suppose, lifting on and off. Mm-hmm. And then Beck's been a bit more cardio based for that time until recently. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just the eating habits that we go good for a little while and then slippery slope and then go, oh, hang on a minute, we need to get back on it. But this challenge really helps you be accountable for that.
Yep. I want to ask another question around like family time, around meal time. With the challenge, you know, we are kind of inviting you to go on a diet and starting to look over the foods that you're consuming. When it was around dinner time, did you have to make different meals for yourself and your kids, or did you find that your kids were starting to eat similar foods to yourself, such as maybe, you know, meat and two veg type meal? Like, what was that like around dinner time?
Yeah, so most of the time we try and get them to eat the same as us, which is just the meat, two veg. They might have a bit of pasta or something. But depending on what it is, obviously with kids, you've got to hide some of the veggies in the food.
Yep.
Otherwise, as soon as they see green, they say, what's that? I'm not eating that. So it is a little bit challenging. We have to make some different meals for them, but we always try and give them what we're having with maybe another little side, something on the side for them, because we know it's going to be a bit difficult for them just to want broccoli and rice all the time. But
yeah,
yes, it is challenging, but yeah, you just got to hide their vegetables a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And were you following any like maybe meal prep? Like, were you trying to prepare meals in advance, or were you trying to make it fresh every day?
No, so we normally have a big cook up on the weekend. Mm-hmm. So we might do 5 different meals and then we'll freeze them all, or leave some out for the first few days and then pull them out. Obviously, with Beck's work, my work, the kids, it's hard to cook fresh every day, find time. And then, as you know, if you're not prepared, that's when you're going to get takeaway, or you're going to cook something quick and easy that probably isn't the healthiest. So we always like to actually prepare everything for the week so there's no excuses.
Yeah. And on the weekend, like, were you, you know, maybe getting the kids involved with like the preparation at all? Or were they watching mum and dad kind of preparing all the foods? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, so they definitely get involved, and they knew mum and dad were on a diet. They kept on reminding us if there was any other food around, they would say, you can't have that, you're on a diet.
Yeah,
but yeah, we're trying to get them involved. But again, we have to be careful. So we make like, made them some sausage rolls and stuff, but we hide lots of vegetables in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to be careful what they actually see us making. But yeah, they definitely get involved.
Yeah, kids can be brutally honest sometimes, can't they?
Yes, yeah.
They'll tell you, Dad, you can't be eating that, or you know, Dad, you're getting fat or something, and yeah, they can be very rude sometimes. Yeah, Matt, I want to talk a little bit about you know, like that social side of the challenge. You know, for the 12 weeks, you know, life still happens. You know, we have birthdays and family events, and you know, maybe weddings starting there, kids' birthday parties, and all those things. You know, did you find any challenges around that social side of eating? Like, were you tempted at certain barbecues or work events or anything like that? Like, tell me a little bit about that social side of
life. Yeah, that was definitely the hardest part. Last time that I did it, I actually just pretty much didn't go out for 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I said, no, I've got to make this a bit more livable so I can carry it on afterwards. So I did have like a 50th birthday I went to and a couple of other events. But on those events, if I did go, like I drove so that I couldn't drink alcohol and just tried to stand where away from the tables with all the food on it. Let like people that are close to me know what was going on. But yeah, just tried to avoid it and just change my mindset on I don't need to stand there, you know, eating a packet of chips and drinking a beer the whole time. Like I can actually go there and actually have something healthy, something small, and get through the night without worrying about that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Might be a bit of a silly question, but in those social events, did you still have a good time even though you didn't munch on the chips and have a beer in your hand?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. A lot of my ended the night a lot earlier than I probably would, but yes, I definitely still had a good time.
Yeah.
Probably worked out better. Saved money. Didn't wake up with a headache.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's sometimes a common concern when we go to these social events that, oh, I need to have a drink, or, you know, people are going to look at me weird, or I need to kind of like, you know, have a plate, or, you know, my grandma's going to get upset or something like that, right? But then when we kind of overcome those maybe internal fears, maybe is the right word, where we go, oh, well, I could go to this event and yeah, it's okay if I don't drink. No one else will really care that I don't drink. It's not really a big of a deal. And then we kind of go there, we don't have a drink, and we go, I actually kind of enjoyed myself. I saved a bit of money. I get to drive, you know, I don't have to worry about how I'm going to get home. And then I don't wake up with a headache the next day and can go and train, right? So when we kind of overcome these types of things, we start to think, oh, well, yeah, I could actually go to more social events rather than completely abstain, because that's the normal approach. When we start a diet, we go, oh, well, no, I don't want to be social anymore because the temptation, right? But then when we kind of take those bigger steps and go, well, yeah, I can kind of go out and I can do these things, and you know, I'm strong inside. I can say no to a third plate of dinner because, you know, my nonna said I had to have it, or you know, my friend's putting a beer in my hand. I can say no to those things, and then that's when I think like dieting becomes a long-term thing, because when we completely avoid it, that's when we become like, you know, these like you know, really anxious around social situations. We become this like little hermit crab. We don't want to go out anymore. And then as soon as we go out, we kind of fall back into those old behaviors. So I think it kind of starts in these steps. And I'm really proud of you, man, if you made those steps to go, well, yeah, I can go out and enjoy these things. Or maybe you were in that situation where you went, oh, yeah, you know, I can have a slice of cake because it's a birthday, but it's not going to completely derail me. Like, did you find yourself in those situations where you said, hey, I can have this, I'm going to have a small amount, but then I'm going to go back onto my dieting plan? Did you find yourself in that situation?
Yes, definitely. So this time around, I was following the macros and calories a lot more than last time. Last time was just like, no, I need to eat plain food, less of it, plain food. That was it. Whereas this time, like, no, I can have flavor. I can have that little bit of cake, but then I've got to make up for it somewhere else. So yeah, definitely trying to change the mindset on nutrition. Compared to, I think that's where I fell off last time. I went so strict and so plain with the food that once I got flavor back, I just couldn't put the flavor down then. So this time I'm just making sure that as long as I'm following macros, calories in, calories out, yeah, it's definitely a lot easier that way. You can have that little treat and still lose weight and look good.
That's awesome. I kind of want to give you like a virtual high five right now. Yes, because I think that's the big gem that if you're listening to this podcast right now to take away is that, you know, yes, these super restrictive diets can work. You know, if you make a list of things that, no, I don't eat these foods, you bet that if you have whatever's left over and you restrict yourself, you are going to lose weight. Awesome. But then the question is, well, what happens next? What happens when you've just been eating really plain food for a really long time? You have a few birthdays or important work events and other things in your life, which is inevitable. What happens then? So if you can kind of take that step to go, well, yeah, I could have that cookie, or I could have that slice of cake, or maybe I could go there and have, I don't know, one drink and I'm okay to stop there. That is like really maturing into fitness, and that's really maturing into being realistic about life. Life's going to throw these curveballs at us. And yeah, Matt, I'm really proud of you that you've taken that step. And I think that was the key difference between maybe getting in the top 50 last time, being really restrictive and, you know, really, really hard on yourself. And then now you've got the top 10 and you were probably more flexible where you could, you know, I'm going to go and say it, you could want the cake and eat it too, right? Where you've gone and had those things and now you've got the six pack and kicking goals and love it. So I'm really proud of you, man. You should be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve.
Look, from here, Matt, I want to go back in a little time machine. So if you were to take yourself back to January, just before you started this January challenge, and you could to compare yourself from that Matt then to Matt now, how would you describe that change that the challenge might have given you over the past 12 weeks?
Well, I'm actually fitting in some of my clothes again, which is good.
Awesome. That's always a win. Yeah,
just energy levels are better, which is beneficial for the kids. So at the end of the day, I'm not as tired as I am when I'm heavier. Mm-hmm. And get outside and jump on the trampoline with them and try and do flips with them, as much as that's hurting the older I get. But just the energy level is the biggest one. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And have you found that with that energy level that you're now able to play with your kids more? Have you found that those relationships with like your kids or maybe your wife and you know, people around you have improved because you have more energy and more bonding time with the people that you love?
Yeah, definitely. It makes the day more positive. Yep. And as soon as there's positivity around, everyone's in a better mood, everything's better. So yes, definitely.
Yeah. So I think that's another big gem about these, you know, body transformation things that, you know, we try to do in the challenge, and you know, there are other challenges as well, and that's fine, where, you know, we start the process, we're trying to lose some weight, we're trying to improve our fitness, maybe feel stronger, those types of things. But then the other wins, those other non-scale victories we talk about come through where, hey, I've got a lot more energy. I can play with my kids again. I can go on the trampoline. I can do flips. And, you know, I can feel like I'm, you know, a teenager again. And, you know, your body is probably very similar to what you were when you were a teenager, because now you're fit, you're healthy, you're active, you're doing all those things. And now you're creating these lifelong memories all from, you know, 12 weeks. And imagine 12 weeks of training and dieting. Imagine what you could do after 12 months of dieting and exercise, you know.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, that's always exciting. That's the goal. Well, talking about goals, like where to from now? So, you know, you've done the second challenge, you really kicked some big goals. You know, where to now for Matt and Beck and the family?
Yeah, so just keep on that nutrition education. I'm just trying to learn what food I can eat. Want to concentrate on a bit of muscle building for a little while. Interested to see what the M challenge is and how that goes. So I think I'll definitely sign up again. The results you get out of it are crazy. I don't know what way I'll go, whether it's to cut down again or just concentrate on lifting, because I do enjoy like squat days and deadlift and trying to lift heavy, mm-hmm. which when you're in a bit of a cut is sometimes hard. So yeah, just concentrate on diet, lifting, and keep going with it.
I love it. That's awesome. Matt, from here, I want to speak a little bit about advice. So if someone was to come up to you and they were about to start a fitness journey, or maybe they were about to start the new M challenge, what advice would you give that person?
A bit cliche, but just do it. That'd be the first thing. Just do it. Don't be afraid. And also, 12 weeks actually goes a lot quicker than you think. So you get to 6 weeks and it does feel like it's been a long time, but it's not. It just goes by all of a sudden. It's over and you've done it. So just keep going. It'll be over before you know it. You'll be looking amazing. Just yeah, keep going with it.
I love it. Yeah, because you know that 84 days is going to pass, right? Whether you're sitting on the couch watching Netflix and having that second bowl of ice cream, or if you're out there, you know, getting your steps up and going to the gym and organizing your life and all those things, right? And, you know, after 12 weeks, then, you know, we readjust, we maybe change our goals or, you know, do an audit of ourselves and go, well, yeah, I'm going to do this for another 12 weeks. So I'm going to keep on going for another, you know, 6 months or get up to the 12 months and beyond. And I think, Matt, you've highlighted that here today where, yes, you know, you might have tried one challenge and you did well, got in the top 50, picked up a few skills along the way, tried it again, got in the top 10. And I'm excited to see who is first again in the top three, whether it's yourself.
Yeah, definitely some competition in the household.
No, it's so good. Well, Matt, look, let's wrap it up there, my friend. I want to take a moment to thank you for donating some of your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. And I want to take a moment to thank you on your amazing result. You know, you should be so proud of the effort that you've put in. And like I said at the start, it was no surprise. You know, the work that you put in has shown, and that's scored you a place in the top 10 as one of our final Max's top 10 finalists before we move into that M challenge.
No worries. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for your time too.